Legalists also have to kick out those who disobey their doctrines or their laws. Let's go to John chapter 9. And of course, I forgot to start the clock. So I have no idea how I'm doing in time. I guess if I run over, they'll just have to excommunicate me and kick me out, right? Okay. Actually, I think I'll be fine because I don't have too many scriptures here. But John chapter 9, this is a great record. You know what's interesting is you got John chapter 8. They brought the woman caught in adultery, brought him to Jesus Christ, you know, and trying to get him to give in to legalism. Then you got John chapter 9, where they had the guy who was born blind, and when he wouldn't give in to the Pharisees, they kicked him out. And then right after that, you take all this in context, you go right over to John chapter 10, and that's where you got John 10:10, where the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And he was teaching that in context of John chapter 8 and 9. And it's interesting to look at that in that context, because he was dealing with people that had been pushed around by legalists and spiritually abused and all sorts of other things. And that's when he taught them that there is a thief that steals, kills, and destroys, but I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. How we have that life more abundantly is through grace. But anyway, I've got to show you John 9. Let's go to... We all know this story. I'm not going to read the whole thing. There was the guy that was born blind, and the disciples said, you know, well, did his parents sin, or did he sin that he was born blind? You know, because the Pharisees had been out teaching reincarnation, you know, that they were teaching that in a previous life, he had done these awful things, and he was born this way to pay for his sins. Or then there was another group that was teaching, well, because his parents sinned, when you guys sinned, you broke the law, now your kids are going to have physical problems, you know, and put fear in their life and say, see, that's what happened to this man. He was born blind, and, you know, control people like that. And Jesus Christ came along and said, no, neither of those are true. He said, this guy's here that I can deliver him, you know, that I can work the works of him that sent me. And he came and he delivered the guy, and he came seeing, and then they called him on the carpet, you know, the Pharisees did, and they said, he says, is this your, you know, said, how were you delivered, you know? He said, I don't know, but the guy, he washed my eyes. And he said in verse 17, he is a prophet. In verse 18, the Jews did not believe concerning him that he was born blind. They said, okay, this is a counterfeit. They're faking this stuff to make Jesus Christ look good. So they called in the parents. And the parents, they wouldn't admit. They were afraid of the legalists. They were afraid of the consequences of going up against them. So they said, oh, we don't know. Ask our son. And they copped out. And the parents answered and said, verse 20 here, this is our son. We know that he was born blind, but what means he now seeth, we know not. Or we don't even know who opened his eyes. He's of age, ask him. And what's great is later on they start grilling this guy. And he says, well, you know, I already told you guys once the answer. If I tell you again, would you be his disciple? Ooh, all the veins in her neck popped out. They turned beet red in the face. Said, oh, and they started yelling at him. And they all together, I think, along about, where they cast him out. Basically, what that means is they excommunicated him. At verse 34, they cast him out. What's great is Jesus Christ, he went and found the guy. He heard that he was cast out and he was excommunicated. He was brutally mistreated by these legalists and spiritual abusers. And he went and found the guy and he ministered the word to him and taught him a little bit of the word. You know, and if you follow the context, he may have even been still there when he was teaching John 10:10, which was great. You know, but that's what the legalists like to do. They like to kick people out. But let's go to John chapter 6, just a few chapters back here. How did Jesus Christ handle it? When, you know, Jesus Christ, not everybody agreed with him. Some people liked what he taught and some people didn't. So in verse 60 of chapter 6, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this saying, said, this is an hard saying. I love old English, an hard saying. Who can hear it? In other words, you know, this is hard to believe. I don't know if I can believe this stuff. I'm not sure if I want to follow this guy. That's what they're talking about in our colloquial vernacular. In verse 66, and from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Well, see, that's a ministry of grace. If you don't like the church or you don't like the guy that's teaching, you can go, you can quit coming. You could, but did Jesus Christ tell him to leave? But what? If you don't believe everything I said, out of here. I want a letter. All you guys have signed a letter said you have allegiance to me. I'm the only one you're following. Forget that John the Baptist guy. He's dead. Follow me. You know, he didn't do that. He just taught the word. You know, I don't see anywhere where he grilled his followers like that. He taught the word, you know, said, look, you want to... And then what's cool is he went to his apostles later and said, you guys going to leave too? Are you going to stay with me? He just asked them, you know. And Peter said, oh, we're going to stay with you, of course. Good old Peter. You got to love him. Here's another quote from a book. In 1972, Elena Whiteside wrote a book called The Way Living in Love. And she interviewed Dr. Werwell in that book. And she said, if someone comes into the ministry, we don't drop them. We stick with them. We never kick anyone out. They kick themselves out if they want to go, but they're always welcome back. And we all remember the record of Mark 3. The guy went into Jesus went into the synagogue, and there was a guy there with a withered hand. And he couldn't move it, you know, something wrong. I don't know what kind of physical ailment he had, but he was basically, you know, dried up. And the Pharisees were there and said, oh boy, Jesus Christ is going to heal this guy. We've been concerned about this guy for years. He's been coming. We've been praying for him. We've been having long... No, they were wanting to accuse him. They were there. They weren't concerned about the guy with the withered hand. They were concerned, oh boy, hey, this guy's got a problem. Jesus Christ there, he heals people. Okay, if he heals them, it's a Sabbath day. Here he is, sitting on my watch Sunday. Well, I guess their Sabbath was Saturday, so it's in their watch Saturday. I guess maybe they had a little sundial on their oh, it's Saturday. And they, you know, say, so here it is Saturday, Sabbath day. If he heals him, we'll nail him. We got him breaking the law, and his ministry's over. They weren't concerned about that guy with a hand at all. And Jesus Christ looked around about them with anger because they, you know, they weren't concerned about deliverance. They were concerned about their law. See, people are more important than laws. That's why God instituted grace, because he loves people. God doesn't love laws. He loves people. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave him the Old Testament law, right? No, he sent his only begotten son that whosoever obeys the law might have eternal life. No, that whosoever believeth in him might have everlasting life. And let's go back to John 8 here. It's the same thing here with John 8. You got the woman caught in adultery. They bring, you know, they said she was caught in the very act. You know, I've heard some people say they actually caught her in the act. Other people said, teach that she was pregnant without a husband. Either way, she'd broken the Old Testament law. And they brought this woman. And were they concerned about this woman? Said, well, you know, this woman's got problems. We need to work with her and get her back where she's doing the law again. No, they weren't concerned about that. They wanted to, let's kill her, you know. Some big stones and break the bones and, you know, kill her, you know. But Jesus Christ, he's interested in people. And what's cool is in verse 7, and see, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. So, okay, if any of you guys don't have a sin, you can cast a stone. And the one guy that did have the right to do that would have been Jesus Christ, because he was without sin. But what did he do? He said, oh, go out and sin all you want. It's grace. You know, you can just ask for free. No, he said, go and sin no more, is what he told the woman.